It's fun to be inquisitive. Be nosy. Stick to your passion. Find out more for yourself. Quest is fun. Join me, Tristan Pang, on a journey of inspiration. Welcome to Youth Voices.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to my show. This is your host, Tristan Pang, on Planet FM 104.6, Youth Voices. Great to have you here today, and Happy New Year, everyone. Before I came into the studio today, I saw a passerby and grabbed him in. He would like to remain anonymous here, but welcome to the show, anonymous person.
Hello. Oh, yes. Happy New Year, Tristan.
Happy New Year to you, too.
So, did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah, it was a great Christmas. Had a great time, except that a bit before Christmas, I had one of my online orders stolen. It was supposed to be a Secret Santa gift.
Oh, no. So unlucky.
Well, yeah, it was really sad and we had to get something new. I then actually tried trapping a parcel outside, making a fake delivery box, which was attached to a alarm so that when the box moved, it would make a big loud noise that's annoying as well and hopefully would scare the burglar off. What do you think about that?
That's quite a good idea.
I then found a viral video the day after by Mark Rober, a NASA engineer. He made a similar thing because he had also have parcel thieves in America. And his thing had cameras and everything to record the people as well as having glitter, which sprayed everywhere when they opened the box, and also fart spray.
So,
yeah, that's kind of disgusting, but serves the thieves right. So another idea I had for this is to transform my existing letterbox to a parcel box with a password keypad. So I can give the password to the courier person as a delivery instruction, and then they can put the password in and open the box, put the parcel in, then close it, lock it again, and then move on to the next house. And yeah, all these different ideas to kind of to prevent parcel thieves. So if you listeners have any ideas about how to stop parcel thieves, or if you've had a parcel stolen from you yourself, please email me at youthvoicesnz@gmail.com and share your experiences. So, anonymous guest, what have you done during the holiday?
Oh, I watch a lot of movies. By the way, what is your most favourite movie?
Well, out of the ones I've recently watched, definitely The Man Who Knew Infinity. I'm kind of feel related to him in terms of self-learning mathematics. I could feel the struggles and the challenges and the hurdles along Ramanujan's bumpy road.
Who is this guy?
Well, Ramanujan was a Indian mathematician who lived during the British rule in India. Although he had no formal training in pure mathematics, he made substantial contributions to mathematical analysis, number theory, infinite series, and continued fractions, including solutions to mathematical problems that were considered unsolvable back then. And in 1913, he began contacting the renowned English mathematician G.H. Hardy at the University of Cambridge. Hardy recognized the extraordinary work sent to him as samples, and he arranged travel for Ramanujan to travel to Cambridge. In his notes, Ramanujan has produced groundbreaking new theorems, including some that Hardy stated had defeated him and his colleagues completely, in addition to rediscovering recently proven but highly advanced results. During his life, Ramanujan independently compiled nearly 3,900 results, and most of these were identities and equations.
Very interesting.
Now, in 2011, George Andrews, who is the Evan Pugh Professor of Mathematics at the Pennsylvania State University, gave a talk on Ramanujan's life and work. Let's take a listen at what other renowned professional mathematicians have got to say about Ramanujan.
So let me start out with the story of Ramanujan's life. Ramanujan was born in 1887 in a small town in southern India, grew up in the small city of Kumbakonam. He was mathematically gifted as a child. He, when he went to high school, you can visit the high school in Kumbakonam, and you will see certificates that he won because of his mathematical skill. Mathematics really took hold of him. He was sufficiently talented that he was born into a poor Brahmin family, so that while they were of the upper caste, they had very little money. And so in order for him to go to college, he needed a scholarship, and his achievements in high school were such that he was able to get a scholarship. However, his first year and his only year in college at the government school in Kumbakonam did not work out so well. He did continue to do well in mathematics, but some of his other subjects he either neglected or something went wrong with them. In any event, his grades overall were sufficiently poor that he lost his scholarship, and because he was poor, he had to leave the college. G.H. Hardy, his subsequent benefactor and mentor, writes of him as follows in this period of time. Ramanujan does not seem to have had any definite occupation except mathematics until 1912. In 1909, he married, and it became necessary for him to have some regular employment. But he had great difficulty in finding any because of his unfortunate college career. About 1910, he began to find more influential Indian friends, but all their efforts to find a tolerable position for him failed, and in 1912, he became a clerk in the office of the Port Trust of Madras. This, of course, sounds like a sort of standard tragic story of someone who, because of unfortunate circumstances, was not able to achieve what he might have in life. However, Ramanujan was someone who more or less seemed to ignore most of the things around him in concentrating on mathematics. He wrote extensive notebooks before at this period of time, and indeed my dear friend who introduced me, Professor Berndt, has devoted 5 volumes to explaining and understanding the mathematics that is in these notebooks that Ramanujan wrote at the time that he was, at the time and before when he was working at the Madras Port Trust. Many of his friends encouraged him to write to some English mathematicians in order to gain favor of and help from them. And he actually wrote to 3 mathematicians. The first two rather brushed him off. I will say a little later why. Early in my life, I felt great disdain for the two who brushed him off. Subsequent events have caused me to at least feel some, if not exactly sympathy, at least understanding of how they might have responded. Fortunately for Ramanujan, however, the third person he wrote to was the person I just quoted, G.H. Hardy. He wrote as follows, "Dear sir, I beg to introduce myself to you as a clerk in the accounts department of the Port Trust office at Madras on a salary of only £20 a year. I am now about 23 years of age. I have had no university education, but I have undergone the ordinary school course. After leaving school, I've been employing the spare time at my disposal to work at mathematics. I've not trodden through the conventional regular course, which is followed in a university course, but I am striking out a new path for myself. I have made a special investigation of divergent series in general, and the results I get are termed by the local mathematicians as startling. I would request you to go through the enclosed papers. Being poor, if you are convinced that there's anything of value, I would like to have my theorems published. I have not given the actual investigations nor the expressions that I get, but I have indicated the lines upon which I proceed. Being inexperienced, I would very highly value any advice you give me. Requesting to be excused for the trouble I give you, I remain, dear sir, yours truly, S. Ramanujan." And with this letter, he sent along a number of formulas, and in amongst them were these two formulas. There were also a variety of assertions, some definite integrals, a real varied collection of mathematical results. Fortunately, I think in these formulas, one finds some definite integrals that Hardy himself had actually been working on and had been sufficiently proud of them that he published this, so that when seeing these same integrals in Ramanujan's letter, Hardy immediately realized that here was a mathematician of exquisite taste. In addition, there were formulas here which absolutely stunned Hardy, and the two you see on the screen are examples. Hardy says of these, "I had never seen anything the least like them before. A single look at them is enough to show that they could only be written down by a mathematician of the highest class. They must be true, because if they were not true, no one would have had the imagination to invent them. Finally, the writer must be completely honest, because great mathematicians are commoner than thieves or humbugs of such incredible skill." So Hardy then went to work to arrange for Ramanujan to come to England to work on mathematics. There were a variety of obstacles involved with this, difficulties with Ramanujan, his family, questions about the Hindu religion and traveling overseas, but eventually all these were overcome, and Ramanujan came to England in 1914 for several years of an absolutely astounding collaboration. I would say that a significant part of number theory, especially analytic number theory in the 20th century and into the 21st century, was heavily influenced by the ideas and the methods that were pioneered by Ramanujan and in his collaboration with G.H. Hardy. I will show you something about what's called the partition function in a moment, but I should say that his work on the partition function with Hardy was the precursor of what is called the circle method in analytic number theory, and has played a huge role in the discoveries of number theory in the 20th century. The work on probabilistic number theory, which has also played a significant, had a significant bit of activity throughout the 20th century, has its origins in one of the papers that Hardy and Ramanujan wrote. The amazing achievements with regard to the theory of modular forms and their applications in number theory, although Ramanujan certainly was not the one to have discovered modular forms, he nonetheless had an insight in them and an understanding of questions related to them that truly shaped a number of studies and achievements in the 20th century. So that this period of time, these 4 years between 1914 and 1918, more or less, were an absolutely amazing achievement.
Wow, isn't that great? I've also recently just found a community which extends the spirit of Ramanujan. The Spirit of Ramanujan Math Talent Initiative is founded by Professor Ken Ono of the Emory University. This initiative strives to find undiscovered STEM talent around the world. I highly recommend you to head on Google and search for this initiative, the Spirit of Ramanujan Math Talent Initiative. So that's it for today's show. Thanks for coming on to my show, anonymous guest.
You're welcome.
Hope you all are having a great start to 2019. And yeah, have a good year. If you want to contact me, please email me at youthvoicesnz@gmail.com or visit my website, www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices. That's QUEST-IS-FUN.org.nz. So, thanks for listening. Have a great year. Bye.
Bye.
Join me again for another exciting program next month on the first Wednesday at 2:10 p.m. or listen anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/youthvoices or listen to the archive on my website www.questisfun.org.nz/youthvoices. Youth Voices.